would make you all welcome to service this Sabbath morning. And a special welcome to our preacher today, Mr. George Wright, an elder in our Ballyclare congregation. Our evening service will be at 7:30, and Mr. Phil Dunn is to be our preacher. That's preceded by a prayer meeting at 7:10. Then on Thursday the 18th, the Women's Fellowship plans to meet at 7:30, and the ladies are asked to read chapter 5 of the book. Next Lord's Day, our preacher at morning service is Mr. Trevor Wills, and in the evening, the Reverend George Johnson. We now ask George to lead us in worship.
I would just like to thank Elliot for those warm words of welcome. It is indeed a privilege for me to be here with you this morning, although I might say that I would be much happier down there in one of those pews. But we've come here to worship God. So we're going to just have our call to worship. And our call to worship this morning is taken from Nehemiah. Don't need to look it up. Nehemiah. And it's chapter 9, and we're reading verse 5b to 6. Now, the people, the children of Israel, had come together to confess their sins. And the Levites, a group of Levites, they stood up and they said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." And we come this morning to worship this great and mighty God. And we're going to do that by singing together from Psalm 67C. Psalm 67C. And we're going to sing all of this psalm. And the tune name is Web number 231. Web 231. And we're going to sing all of this psalm, Psalm 67C. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. How good it is to have God's mercy and God's love and grace shown to us every day of our lives. That so thy way most holy on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. Thank God for his grace and mercy. And thank God for all of the missionary work that is being carried on throughout our whole world at this time. And O God, let peoples praise thee, let all the people sing, let nations now be joyful, let songs of gladness ring. Let us sing this psalm to God's praise and glory.
Brightness of thy face.
us come before God in prayer. Loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into your most holy presence this morning hour. And, O God, we come acknowledging and realizing, O God, that you are the one and only true God, that one from everlasting to everlasting, the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And, O God, we just worship you this morning for your greatness, for your might, for your majesty, for your power. You are the great Creator God. And, O God, you are a holy God. And the angels veil their faces in your presence and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And, O God, we come this morning as sinners before you, realizing, O God, that we have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And, O God, we realize that each day, Lord, we sin before you. And so, O God, we come, Lord, this morning to confess our sins and, O God, to ask for your forgiveness. And, O God, we come this morning also with hearts, Lord, of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to you, O God, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for being with us since last we met in worship. Thank you for your preserving, protecting hand upon us. And, O God, we thank you for all of the temporal blessings that you bless us with. We thank you, Lord, for homes, for families, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for friends and for all of these good things. But over and above everything, we thank you, O God, this morning for the gift of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for leaving heaven, for coming to earth and for going to Calvary. And we thank you for suffering for us before the cross and then on that cruel cross. Lord Jesus, cleanse us this morning from all sins. And, O God, we just do want to thank you for that precious, precious shed blood of Calvary that cleanseth us from all sin. And Heavenly Father, we just do, Lord, thank you for the church here in Kilrats. We thank you, Lord, for the witness that has been here down through many, many years. And Lord, we do thank you for the faithful pastors, Lord, down through those years. And, O God, we just do pray now, Lord, that in this time of vacancy, that you will bless, Lord, bless the session, Lord. Pray, O God, that they will have wisdom and guidance, Lord, concerning the calling of a pastor. Wisdom for the session and members, Lord. And we pray, O God, that in due course there will be a pastor once again to minister, Lord, to this congregation. And we thank you, Lord, for the deacons. And we pray, Lord, you'll bless the deacons, Lord, in all of their work. And we pray too, Lord, for the Reverend Joel Lockridge. We thank you, O God, for Joel. Pray your blessing upon him and his wife and family. Pray, O God, that you will bless Joel as interim moderator here. And Lord, we remember now too this morning, any who would be sick, any who would be infirm, Lord. And we pray, O God, for your healing hand to be upon them. And also, Lord, we remember those who have been bereaved, those, O God, who have lost loved ones. We pray, O God, that you will pour on the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. May they know your love and your comfort. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our first Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 11. Psalm 11. And we're going to read all of this psalm. Psalm 11. In the Lord I put my trust. how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test for the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and the burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. And we know that God will bless his word. And we're going to further sing now from Psalm 98b. Psalm 98b, I'm going to sing all of this psalm. The tune is Milton number 118. Tune Milton 118. Psalm 98b. O come and sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he has done. His right hand and his holy arm him victory have won. Salvation which is from the Lord, he has caused to be known. His righteousness has been revealed, to nations has been shown. Yes, salvation is of the Lord. And even Jonah, when Jonah was in the fish's belly, Jonah could say, salvation is of the Lord. So let us sing this psalm to God's honour and glory. Psalm 98b, all.
Oh.
will now present our offerings to the Lord. We have two further Bible readings at this stage, and the first is John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Gospel of John 14, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way or where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And just in passing, that last verse there, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the verse that's on Billy Graham's tombstone in Charlotte, North Carolina. That was his favourite verse. And now we turn also to our last reading, which is Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. Revelation, the last book in the Bible there. Revelation 21 and verses 1 to 8. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word. Now, once again, let us stand as we come before God in prayer. O God, we just thank you that once again, Lord, we can have that privilege of coming into your holy presence. And we thank you that you are a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. And O God, we just do want to thank you indeed, Lord, for your wondrous mercy and grace, Lord, to us each day, Lord. And O Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to your house, to worship you, to praise you, to magnify your name. And O God, we just do pray, Lord, for every person, Lord, in this congregation, Lord. We do pray, O God, that you will bless them, Lord. You know, Lord, each heart before you. And we do pray, O God, that you will lead and guide. And Lord, we just pray for all Christians that you will bless them and strengthen them, Lord, in their faith and build them up strong in the Lord. And we do pray, Lord, for any who may not as yet have trusted you as Saviour, that you will bring them in your love and mercy to put their faith and their trust in Jesus. And Lord, we just do remember too the three people, Lord, that will in due course this year, Lord, get married. O God, we just thank you that in your providence, Lord, you have brought these young people together. And O God, we just do thank you for their parents. Thank you, O God, for the upbringing, Lord, that they have received. And Lord, we just do pray, Lord, that at this time, that you will bless, Lord, and all the arrangements, plans, and organization, Lord, that has to take place for these weddings. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless these young people. And above all, Lord, we pray that they will live to glorify you, Lord, to walk in your ways, Lord. And now, Lord, we do remember the missionaries, Lord, in our denomination. We do pray for that work, Lord, in Galway. We thank you for Ruth and Warren and family being there. And we pray, O God, that you will bless, Lord, that little group, that city of Galway. Lord, build them up, those who are Christians, Lord. Build them up strong, we pray. We pray, O God, that many new people might come in, Lord, to that fellowship. And Lord, we do pray, too, for that small group in Limerick. We pray, Lord, that you will indeed supply, Lord, a speaker, Lord, week by week. And we pray that you'll undertake also, Lord, for somewhere suitable, Lord, for them to meet. And Lord, we remember too the work, Lord, in Nantes, Lord. And Lord, we do thank you for Andrew and Heather and Matthew and their ministry. Pray, O God, that you will abundantly, Lord, bless their ministry, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for that new building, Lord, and pray that it will be used, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom. And Lord, we remember too the work, Lord, in Spain. Pray for Isaac, Lord, for Rachel and family. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for the new couples, Lord, who have come into that congregation. And we do pray, O God, that you will build that congregation up, Lord, and help them, Lord, to be a witness for you in that city, we pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to further sing, and this time from Psalm 19b, Psalm 19b, and we're going to sing all of this psalm, and the tune is St. Anne 138. Tune St. Anne 138. Psalm 19b. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. And then in verse 5, or stanza 5, moreover they thy servant warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. What is the reward? It's the reward of heaven. Heaven at the end of the Christian's life. So let us praise God with this psalm. Psalm 19b, and we're going to sing all of it. Holidays this past month for people flying with Aer Lingus have been a problem. Some have been fortunate with their flight leaving, while others have had their holidays ruined. Now, when on holidays you arrive at your destination, get settled in, and then go to the pool or the beach, you're lying there in your lounger, the sun shining brightly overhead, the palm trees swaying in the cool breeze, soft music playing in the background, a lovely iced fruit drink at your side. And what do you say? This is heaven. Teachers, after a busy year of school, with troublesome, noisy and unruly children, when the holidays come and they are in the peace and quiet of home, they would say, this is heaven. Some people addicted to food and chocolate, when forking their way into a huge chocolate gâteau, would exclaim, this is heaven. Yes, people have many ideas about what heaven on earth here is like. But this morning, I would like to consider with you what the real heaven, the biblical heaven, the heaven to which everyone wants to go when they die, what it is like. And in order to look at this subject, I would like to take the word heaven and use the letters as an acrostic. First of all, the letter H. And this speaks to us about home. For the Christian, heaven will be our home. When we think about our earthly homes, it conveys many thoughts and memories for each of us. We recall in our mind the home that we grew up in as children. All the happy and sometimes sad events that occurred. Yes, there are many aspects to the term home, and I would like to consider four of these in relation to heaven. Firstly, heaven is home because it is a place of rest. After a hard day's work on the farm, in the office, or at school, it is just great to get home, pick off the Wellingtons and shoes, and put your feet up. Home is a place of rest. And the Bible has a lot to tell us about rest. Right back in Genesis, we are told that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We read in Hebrews 4:9, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." In Deuteronomy 12:10, we read Moses' words to the children of Israel, "But when you cross over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety." As Christians, when we face the Jordan of death and cross over the deep and dark waters, then we shall enter our eternal rest in heaven, our home. Just as the children of Israel had rest from their enemies, so also shall we as Christians. No more battling with sin. No more Satan going about as a roaring lion, trying to devour us, to tempt us, to destroy us, and to lure us into wrongdoing. In this life on earth, we can get weary in the constant struggle to live the Christian life. Home is a place of rest, and in heaven we shall have our perfect rest. Secondly, heaven is home because it is a place where loved ones are. We can all remember as children being ill and having the tender care of a mother looking after us. I can still hear the welcome footsteps of my mother coming up the stairs during periods of illness. Then maybe we fell off our bikes and got our scraped knees kissed, and we felt them better almost immediately. Yes, at home we have our loved ones. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, and on occasions, grandparents. Our earthly home is a place where loved ones are, and heaven will also be a place where loved ones are. Our parents, spouses, relations, and friends who have gone on before us and had their faith in Christ as Saviour are now in heaven. What a joyous meeting and glorious reunion that will be to meet up with them and join them in the wonder and bliss of heaven. Yes, there will be many people that we look forward with anticipation to meeting there. One person I will look forward to meeting is Roy. Roy came from Cullybaggy and was quite a character. I remember camping with Roy and some friends outside Bray in the south of Ireland. Roy was full of fun and practical jokes. At that time, he worked in a garage in Ballymena. And then later, Roy became an Elam pastor and eventually ended up in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. He had recently married, and he and his English wife had been blessed with a little daughter called Pamela Grace. She was only 3 weeks old when, on one terrible Friday night, 23rd of June, 1978, Roy, his wife, and their little child, along with other Elam missionaries, were all savagely butchered to death. 12 lives in all. Yes, it would be great to meet up with Roy again. And then, on a more humorous note, I have in my possession at home a copy of a letter written by the famous Ulster evangelist W.P. Nicholson. It was written towards the end of his life while living in America. In it, he states that now, at the evening time of life, he has more friends in heaven than on earth. Yes, heaven reminds us of home, the place where our loved ones are. And thirdly, heaven reminds us of home because it is the Father's house of many mansions. We've just read there in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In this life on earth, many people long for a larger house, more space for a mansion. Yes, this may be nice to have, but even if you were David Beckham and did have a Buckingham Palace or a stately home, there would come a time when you would have to leave it all behind. I remember reading about John Wesley on one of his journeys in England. He was visiting a grand and stately home with magnificent gardens. Looking over it all, he said, "This would be hard to leave at death." For the Christian, they can look forward to the house of many mansions. Fourthly, then, heaven will be the will be home because Jesus will be there. In the passage just quoted in John 14, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven always was Jesus' home. But because of his great love for you and me, he left the glories of heaven and visited this planet Earth for a brief 33 years. At the end of that period, on Mount Olivet, he gave his disciples their great commission. And then, right before their eyes, he ascended back up into heaven to be home with his Father. Jesus said when on earth, "I am the light of the world." The Bible tells us that there is no darkness in heaven because Jesus is the light. And someone has written, "The light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. the harmony of heaven, the praise of Jesus, the theme of heaven, the work of Jesus, the employment of heaven, the service of Jesus, and the fullness of heaven is Jesus himself. Yes, heaven will be home because Jesus will be there. We then come to the letter E, and this speaks to us about heaven being exclusive. We live in an age of what is termed in the theological world as pluralism, where all faiths are regarded as equal. All lead to God, and all will conduct us to heaven. But we know, and the Bible makes it very clear, that this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible makes it very clear that the simple words of the children's chorus is correct. There's one way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Jesus himself clearly stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is a holy God, and even in his presence the angels veil their faces and cry, Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And because of God's holiness, there can be no sin in heaven. The scriptures tell us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And despite the sweet, and David the sweet psalmist could write, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We have a problem, our sin. Our sin separates us from God and will keep us out of heaven. And because God is a just God, sin has to be punished. But this is where the great love, mercy, and grace of God comes to our rescue. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, on the cross at Calvary, if we are a Christian, Jesus took our sin, our punishment, our death, our judgment, and our hell. But how can you know that you have your sins forgiven and washed away? By repenting, turning from your sins, and asking Jesus to forgive your sins and to be your Saviour. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we become a Christian, we receive Christ's righteousness, and we are clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, made perfect, and we can go to heaven. On a few occasions, I have had a lovely Calvary meal at a golf course restaurant down in Surrey, England. On the first occasion, I was warned to be sure to arrive with a jacket and tie. The reason being that only those with a jacket and tie are allowed entrance. Under no circumstances are you allowed to enter without wearing the appropriate attire. Some people have come without a jacket or tie. Either they did not know the rules, or else they just ignored them, thinking they would be admitted. But they were turned away. It has got an exclusive dress standard. In Matthew's Gospel, we read of Jesus' parable about the king who made a marriage banquet for his son. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Revelation 21:27 reads, "There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Heaven is an exclusive place. Next is the letter A, and this tells us that heaven is all-embracing. Now, this seems to be a contradiction after stating that heaven is an exclusive place. But it is all-embracing to those who respond to the good news of the gospel. People from the beginning of creation, from before the flood, from after the flood, from Old Testament times, New Testament times, and in the last 2,000 years, will be in heaven. Noah, Abraham, Samuel, David, the apostles, Richard Cameron, David Livingstone, all shall be in heaven. People from all countries, all classes of society, all colours, rich and poor, educated and non-educated, all will be in heaven. What an amazing place it will be. Here on earth, language and culture and background divide us, but in heaven, we all will be one. All one in Christ Jesus. For around 8 years as a family, we went on summer holidays to Cavenary Bible College in England. One of the things that thrilled me each year going there was to meet brothers and sisters in Christ from all around the world. Ethiopia, Israel, Austria, Germany, France, Cuba, Russia, USA, Canada, Egypt. Yes, we met as strangers, but the bond in Christ made us all one family. If Cavenary was a thrill, what will heaven be like? Heaven is all embracing. The next letter, V, and this teaches us that heaven will be a place of victory. Some years ago, I had the privilege of visiting John Bunyan's grave in London. And the Christian life on earth is graphically depicted in John Bunyan's immortal Pilgrim's Progress. Here we see Christian as he treads the Christian pathway, battling against the mighty giants, giant despair, etc. But when he reaches heaven, all the battles are over and the victory is won. It is a true saying that it is only when we become a Christian that we realize the satanic battle we are engaged upon. Before we become a Christian, Satan is quite happy to leave us alone. After all, we belong to him, and he has control over us. But when we become a child of God, then he unleashes his power against us and assails us at every opportunity with his temptations. He tempted Jesus, our Saviour, while on earth, and daily he tempts us. Sometimes here on earth, Satan defeats us with his temptations, and we succumb. Paul said, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice." Other times, in the power of Christ, we resist the temptation and get a temporary victory. It is a constant battle throughout our life on earth. But once we get to heaven, all sin and temptation will be a thing of the past. The words have been written, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Heaven will be a place of victory. We come now to the second letter, E, and this speaks to us about enjoyment. Heaven will be a place of enjoyment. Revelation 24 tells us, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Our verse just quoted mentions tears, crying, sorrow, pain, and death. These words convey all the heartache and trouble that we as humans experience here on earth. Job could say, we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Heaven will be the very opposite. It will be a place of happiness, rejoicing, singing, and worship of the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. Psalm 16:11 tells us, you will show me the, the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lastly, we come to the letter N. And this speaks to us that heaven will never end. We can all remember as children when we were really enjoying ourselves outside playing games in the summer and we wished it would never end. Then, to our great dismay, we heard a call from one of our parents. Bedtime. Maybe as adults you have been on holiday and you wished it would never end. When we are really enjoying ourselves, we wish the experience to continue. But we have a saying, all good things come to an end. But this is not the case with heaven. We will be enjoying ourselves in heaven, and it will last, not just for a few moments, but forever and ever. There will be no end. Our finite minds just cannot comprehend what eternity means. Someone has tried to explain it by saying that if a bird picked up a single grain of sand from a beach, just imagine Port Stewart Strand, and flew with it to a distant destination, then returned for another grain and continued until the beach was empty, and then repeated it for every beach in the world, then eternity would only just have begun. Yes, heaven and all the wonderful joys of heaven will never end. This morning, we have looked at the subject of heaven. The letter H has spoken to us about heaven being home. E has informed us that heaven is an exclusive place. A reminds us that heaven is all-embracing. V assures us that heaven is a place of victory. The second E teaches us that heaven is a place of enjoyment. And N relates the truth that heaven will never end. At this point, it is only right and proper to state that the Bible clearly teaches that just as there is a heaven, there is also a place called hell. Jesus, when on earth, spoke more about hell than he ever did about heaven. And if when we die, we are not a born-again Christian, then hell will be our eternal destination. But heaven is where we all want to go. And some people think it is presumption to say that you are going to heaven. The Apostle Paul did not think so, for he could say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes, you can be sure that you are going to heaven. The question is, are you going to heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The invitation is open to all. The Bible says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The last verse of a poem by Reverend Charles Wesley, brother of John, goes like this. Then let us submit his grace to receive, fall down at his feet and gladly believe. We all are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Our title to heaven, his merits we take. Yes, one day we can all meet up in that wonderful place called heaven, but only through the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant that everyone here this morning will one day be found in heaven. Amen. Our closing psalm this morning is Psalm number 16. Psalm number 16, and we're going to sing verses 5 to 10. The tune is New Britain 122. New Britain 122. Psalm 16, we're going to sing verses 5 to 10. For unto me the boundary lines in pleasant places fell, and the inheritance I have in beauty does excel. Yes, we have a great and wonderful inheritance in heaven. And then the last verse 10. You'll show to me the path of life. Your presence holds great store of lasting joys at your right hand and pleasures evermore. What a wonderful place in heaven. Pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. Let us sing praise to God.
Bye.
Heavenly Father, we just want, Lord, to thank you for your presence with us here this morning. We thank you, God, for that wonderful promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And, oh God, we just want to thank you, Lord, this morning for this wonderful book, the Bible. How we thank you, God, for how this book has been preserved for us down through the centuries. And how we thank you, God, for that wonderful, wonderful message of redemption. This red line that goes through this book from Genesis to Revelation. And how we thank you, God, for your wondrous grace. And how we thank you again for Jesus. And how we thank you, O God, for the heaven that you have prepared for those who love you. O God, we just pray that as we go forth, Lord, from this meeting house this day, that you, O God, will lead us and guide us. That you, O God, will fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you, Lord. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, we just come now, and Lord, we say now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.